If you would open in your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. 1 Kings 17, verses 17 through 24, and I read in the name of the Lord Jesus. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged, and he laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Amen. You know, this week we've gotten to remember here in America the events of 9/11. And for anybody that's around my age or older, the events of 9/11 are probably still vivid in your mind. In fact, I would guess that those of you who were old enough would remember where you were when you heard the announcement. I remember I was at the Bible school dorm room right in the morning hours of classes, and people were turning on the TV in the lobby, and we were all gathering around in shock. And I'm sure you have your specific stories as well of those events. And even more so, if you were near to the events, or if you had a loved one who was involved in them. My sister-in-law was nearby, and many people who were very close to the towers when they went down, or the Pentagon, and when the planes crashed nearby there, or having loved ones involved in it, the trauma is even more heightened, isn't it? And as we think about these troubles that have come upon our country and the kind of panic that can put us into, and I remember the fear that we had. We thought the whole place might be coming down around us next. We didn't know if there were more attacks. We didn't know if we were safe. We had had this feeling of maybe superiority and safety here in America, and now the fight had come to us, and it was very real. And I think a lot of us struggled at that point to know why this was happening and what the future would hold. And in the context of 1 Kings chapter 17 that we read from this morning, the land of Israel was in a really bad place too. They had had generations of wicked kings. There had been a divide between Israel and Judah. The kingdom of God's people had been split, and a majority of the leaders on both sides had been wicked. And this was not long after Solomon had built the temple. We had great King David, and he passed along the kingdom to Solomon. And if you read the beginning of 1 Kings, you will see all of the amazing things that Solomon did in his reign, the way the Lord blessed him, the beauty of the temple and the king's palace and all of these riches. He was the wisest, richest man that ever lived. And all of this blessing, and yet even at the end of Solomon's life, he gave in to the idolatry around him. He took on all these foreign wives that God had commanded him not to, and they led his heart astray. And it started this This long chain of events of people embracing idolatry, abandoning the true God, and worshiping idols. And now the worst king out of this whole chain, King Ahab, and his notoriously wicked wife Jezebel were ruling in Israel. And at this point then, God intervenes. And he had been in different ways, but this is a little different way than recent. Mostly they had just, God had allowed them to be killing each other off and all these people trying to take control, but now God brings a drought upon the land. And this affects everyone, doesn't it? And they had been blessed. They had had bountiful fruits and harvests and all of these things in the land. Good, clean water to drink, and now there was nothing. And the people were starving and thirsty. And God's prophet Elijah, that he had used to bring the news of this drought, was out in the wilderness. God was feeding him with the ravens, and he had brought him to this widow and her son. And God had miraculously fed this widow and her son and Elijah for many days with just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. God had taken care of them. But then a tragedy struck this home, and this widow lost her son. And so as we look at this part of the text of 1 Kings 17, I want to point out three things. When tragedy strikes, crying out for help, and the answer. When tragedy strikes, crying out for help, and the answer. First of all, the tragedy for this woman. She was a widow. And if you know what that means that her husband died. And in this day and age, it was especially tragic because she would have no other way to take care of herself. This was a major problem for her, and actually her life would be on the line. She was in for a life full of struggle if nobody would take her in and care for her. And she still had this son that she had to take care of, and he was her everything. Her past had died, her husband, and her hope for taking care of herself and her family probably was dwindled greatly. But now her future was gone. Her son. People put so much into their family, especially in those days, and a son to be able to pass along their family, their family name. And maybe you can relate that to that some degree. Valuing your family and your children that would come after you and their children's children. And imagine if that's just cut off. You have no husband to make more children with, no one to even help take care of you, and now your son is gone, your dreams are gone, your future is gone. Can you relate to that at all? As you think about her husband dying, her being a widow, have you lost someone that you love dearly and felt that ache within your heart? Wondering, how can I even go on? How am I going to make it to tomorrow? How am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to enjoy life anymore without this loved one in my life? What about your dreams? Have you ever had your dreams shattered through heartbreak or tragedy or some crippling sickness? Or some other tragedy, like this widow losing her son. When we have our dreams smashed on the rocks, it's hard to even go on anymore at all, to be even put one foot in front of the other. And if you have experienced this, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can't even imagine eating the next meal. You can't imagine planning for the future anymore when your future has been broken apart. And when we come upon these times of tragedy and great hardship, what do we ask? We all ask the same thing. Why? Why would this happen? And this woman here in this text asks why too. She asks, "What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Essentially, she's asking, "Why have you come to bring this curse upon me? Why is God doing this?" And she thinks surely that it's some sort of punishment against her, and she's in despair. She thinks that this is all because of her sinfulness. And that would actually, you know, be a pretty normal thing to think about in this time when the people of the land were so wicked and God was angry with them. You could see why she would think of that a man of God would come to bring a curse from God, as there's a curse upon the whole land. But also, she's despairing in herself, recognizing her own sin before God, and she is not thinking about the love of God now, but the harshness of God against a sinner like her. And it's easy to lose hope in the midst of these tragedies. When we start asking why, we're probably not going to come to a good place because of that question. We're going to start thinking about how could there be all this pain and suffering in the world? Well, it must be God's fault, or he must be cruel, or I must have done something to deserve this. And following down this track will never lead you anywhere good. But thankfully, in the midst of her pain and suffering and hopelessness, brokenness, Elijah is there, and he knows where to go and what to do, and he cries out for help. And this crying out for help, we can call this simply prayer. But I want to point out, too, that even as this widow is in a panic, Elijah is also in a panic, and he's kind of whining against God. And maybe not the greatest moment for this prophet as he brings these claims against God. But at least he knows where to go and what to do at this moment. And he prays to God. And he stretches himself over this boy. He had taken him in his arms and carried him upstairs and laid him in his own bed. This shows the great love that Elijah had, that he was making this very personal. And he stretches himself over this boy 3 times. And he prays, and he calls upon God. He cried, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" And even Elijah doesn't understand this tragedy. This is too big even for him. He can't just take care of this on his own. And he doesn't know why this is happening to her. He's shocked. But he goes to the Lord. He brings it before the Lord. In all of his fear and weakness, he brings it to the Lord. I want to ask you too, do you need to be a great prophet like Elijah to go to the Lord in prayer? I don't know if you ever struggle with that, thinking, well, you know, to really spend time in prayer, to really go with bold prayers before the Lord, I would need to be some super Christian, some superhero, some prophet. But I want to tell you, no, you do not. In fact, God tells all of us to pray. He invites all of us. He comes to us and initiates this idea of prayer. He commands it even of us. Martin Luther connects this command to prayer even to the second commandment in Exodus 20, verse 7, when it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And the reason he does this is because to take the name of the Lord the right way would be to call upon it in trouble. To take the name of the Lord in vain would be to neglect the name of the Lord in prayer and to go somewhere else for help. And so we are commanded, even in that second commandment, to go to the name of the Lord, to call upon His name in our time of trouble. He is our God. Excuse me. He is our God. And having Him as our God means that we can look to Him in our greatest time of trouble and know that He is the one who will provide. And God invites us in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Notice He's calling out to the wicked and the unrighteous, not great prophets, right? He's calling out to the worst of us, to all of us. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is calling to you in the midst of your suffering and your need to call out to him. He invites you. He initiates all of this. But also notice that he gives a promise that God will answer it. He said at the end of that Isaiah verse, he will abundantly pardon. And he asks you to pray that he may have compassion on you. So the Lord invites you to pray and he promises to answer your prayers. Here also in Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. That's Jesus talking to you, inviting you to pray to him, promising to answer your prayers. And so, in the midst of this tragedy, this widow that doesn't know what to do, her past and her future is gone. She has nothing left. She has Elijah pray for her. He knows where to go in the moment of need. And then the answer comes, the help. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That is where our help comes from. The answer comes from God himself. And God answered the prayer of Elijah. Even though this widow was coming in panic and you could say unbelief because she thought God was against her, she was not trusting in God in this moment, coming to him in great faith, but actually in doubt and fear. And Elijah came in these weak prayers of panic, and yet God answered his prayers. God had promised to care for this woman until the rain came. She only had this little bit of flour and oil left in her jars. She had nothing, really. And God had promised to care for her until the rain came again. He was looking out for her. And he graciously gave back her son's life. Her future, her hopes, and her dreams were given back to her, even when she blamed God for the tragedy. And God created faith in this woman's heart. You see that at the end of this account, the woman who had just been presented back her son, now alive again, she says, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. God had done all of this to give faith to this woman that she might trust in him. God had a gracious plan in the midst of all of this. I think of John chapter 9 when the disciples saw a crippled man and people were speculating who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be in this kind of state. And Jesus said, neither. This happened that God may be glorified. And that's what happened in this story too. God was glorified when he showed that he answers prayers, that his word is true, that his promise was true. He had promised to sustain this woman and her child, and he kept his promise. And now the woman could trust his word. Even though this was a painful experience for her to go go through, the end result was positive for her. That now she was trusting in the one true God who could provide for her in every way. And not just with food for a little while until the rain comes back, but that God would provide for her even in giving life and salvation and eternal life to her and her son. God created faith. He was working salvation in this woman. And he answered her prayers, even through Elijah. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 7, a passage that we read earlier in the scripture lessons, we see that there's a similar account of Jesus coming upon a dead son, the only son of a widow. And Jesus comes to this dead boy in the casket and with the authority of his own word commands that this child would rise from the dead. This picture of Elijah raising this child was a foreshadowing of Jesus and his authority. Elijah knew where to go, where the authority was, where the help was, and he went to the Lord God. And God raised this boy from the dead. But now Jesus, when presented with a similar situation, he is the authority, he is the help, he is the life giver. And simply with the power of his words is able to bring life to this dead child. Jesus is in the business of giving life and helping, answering prayers. Jesus is also the resurrection himself. In John 11, at the death of Lazarus, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? I'm telling you, all who can hear me today, to put your trust in Jesus. He is the one who has the authority to give life, to raise you from the dead. In fact, he has been raised from the dead himself for you. He died on the cross for your sins. And then Acts 2:24 says that God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. See, Jesus is victorious even over death and the grave. And he's victorious for you. And so as we think about the times that tragedy strikes in our life, when loved ones die or great hardships come where you don't know how you're going to find hope or joy or help for even tomorrow, know that you can cry out to God, that he invites you, even commands you to come to him because he is the source of help. And he has proven himself over and over, just as to Elijah and this widow, that he is the God who answers prayers and can do something about our tragedies. And we can go to Jesus himself, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, knowing that he has defeated death for you and offers you not only hope for this life, but something even greater, hope of eternal life. I think that we need to think as well as we consider this, that sometimes God doesn't answer prayers the way that we want him to, or in the timing that we expect. But I think that we can find some great encouragement that even if you pray for someone to be healed and they end up dying, those who are in Christ will rise again and will live forever. All who put their trust in him will have all of their prayers answered ultimately. And even when God doesn't answer your prayers about things in this life and things get harder instead of easier, also know that God is working for your good, to show you his mercy and grace, to bring you to faith that in the end he might bless you for eternity. Even if in this life it looks like your prayers are not being answered, and it just gets harder right to the end. Know that God still hears your prayers. And even if you don't understand why he's doing what he's doing, his plan is gracious and merciful, and he is able to overcome it all in the end. And all of you who trust in Jesus will one day be freed from all of these troubles. Let's pray. Lord God, it's so hard to know why things happen to us, especially the really hard and bad things. And we are so much like this widow that we think that you must be cruel or that we've done something terrible to deserve this. We wonder why it's happening. But I pray, Lord, that we would, like Elijah, know where to look, where to turn, to call upon you, to cry out upon your name, even in our weakness and fear, to come to you, because you are the one who answers prayers. You are the one who can provide help in our time of need. And you have proven yourself, Lord, over and over to be faithful and gracious and merciful. Help us when we don't understand what's going on, and even when our prayers seem to go unanswered, help us, Lord, to cling to you, knowing that you are working for our good, and that we who trust in you do not need to fear death, but will have all of our prayers answered in the end as we receive eternal life and inheritance as sons and daughters of the King. In your name we pray. Amen.